Yeah, I see you perfectly. How are you, gentlemen? Okay, great. So I don't know if you have any of the Marmakomos.
I do.
Okay, great.
My phone works.
And we're talking about what's called Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. And that's connected, of course, to our parasha, Parashas Vayechi. Yaakov is on his deathbed. And we're going to see that it's quite possible that this principle of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames has nothing to do with a person on his deathbed. It could apply to a healthy person who gives a tzivui and then he dies. But classically, the case of Divrei Ames means a person before his death and he gives some sort of a mandate. Let's say, for example, he would say, give money to so-and-so. Then he dies. Are we obligated to fulfill his will? And if we are, the question becomes, why? Where do we fit that in? So let's just mention that the main sugyas that we want to cover today are in Masechet Gittin, on Daf Yudalet Amud Beis, going on to Tesvav Amud Aleph. And then we're going to turn the clock a little back to the sugya in Gittin on Daf Yud Gimel. And there are all sorts of contradictions in the Shas regarding Mitzvah L'Shmoa or Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. And the Rishonim are going to try to set up Chilukim to reconcile these contradictions. When does this halacha apply? When does it not apply? And then we want to check out whether or not in Shulchan Aruch we have this halacha. Now, one of the most important issues is why. Why do I have to be Mekayim Divrei Ames? Was a kinyan made? And if there was no kinyan made, then what is it, some sort of moral, ethical obligation that I have? Is this a Takonas Chachamim? The other question we want to ask is, we have a famous halacha of Divrei Shchiv Meira Kiksuvim Umesurim Don, which gives absolute validity to the words of a Shchiv Meira. And if that be the case, I don't need the principle of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, unless Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames applies even to a Bari. And he's not a Shchiv Meira. So when he gets to the state of a Shchiv Meira, then whatever he says is automatically Chal through Divrei Shchiv Meira. But if he made a statement or issued some sort of a mandate, Tnu Mana L'Ploni, while he was a Bari, that would not come under the halacha of Shchiv Meira, and L'Chorah should require a full-fledged kinyan. We would have thought it's invalid, but now we come with the halacha of Mitzvah L'Shmoa B'Divrei Ames. Is this halacha d'oraisa? Is it a takonas chachamim midrabanan? If it's a d'oraisa, under what mitzvah does it come? Does Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames apply only to dinei mamonos? Only to monetary transactions and it substitutes for a kinyan? Or is there a mitzvah in general? Whatever the mess wants, we have to do, even if it has nothing to do with dini mominus. Is there a lach of kfiya on mitzvah l'shmoa divrei ames? Can Beis Din force a person to fulfill this mandate? And what happens if there's some sort of a suffix about what the person said before he died? Now the Yarshim inherit that person. They have a chazaka. And if there's a safek, then amotzi mechavel varaya. We have to prove that achen, there was divrei ames, and therefore we take the money out of the possession of the Yarshim. But in the absence of any sort of certainty, because of the halacha of safek mamon lahakel, then we should not be able to force the Yarshim, if we have some sort of doubt about what the Divrei Ames were, to cough up that money. And then we have to ask a different question. And believe it or not, the Rishonim are going to discuss this, that maybe Divrei Mitzvah l'shmoa l'kayim divrei ha'emes only applies to the Yarshin. It's a separate halacha within the context of Yerusha. That if let's say Reuven tells Chanoch, his son, to give money to so-and-so, then Chanoch, because he's a Yoresh, has to fulfill his father's will vis-a-vis the mama. But it doesn't apply to an Adam B'Alma, to someone else. What about a father who gives Divrei HaMes, he gives a command to his son who's a Katan? A Katan is a Lav Bar Mitzvah. Is he obligated in Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes? What about a grandchild? If we assume that it only applies to Yarshim, well, the grandchildren are not really Yarshim as long as they have parents. And when we say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes, let's say the mess told me something that in order to fulfill his will, I'd have to violate an Isur. Do we apply Divrei HaMes here? And what about the laws of Tzedaka? Supposing the Divrei HaMes is to give away masses amount of money to Tzedaka. What about if we have Nechasim, an estate, and we're not sure who owns that estate? It hasn't yet been singled or designated. That's called Bilti Yiduim. Then we're going to have a suffix about a Dabar Shelo Bali Olam. Let's say right now the Yarshim don't have any money in their possession and they got a tzivui from the mess. Later on they do inherit Yerusha. Is that called if Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes is a quasi-kinyan, similar to Divrei Shchivei HaKiksuvim Mesurim Domi, then we should apply the principle of Ein Odom Makne Dovah Shalom Bal Yolam. What about Divrei HaMes that are acceptable in a secular court of law? In other words, what we call Archos Shal Akum. Would that itself make it into Divrei HaMes, Mitzvah L'Kayim? So we want to start with the Sugyan Gittin on Daf Yedalet Amid Beis. And that's the second source on your page 1. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa, which records a Machlokes Tanoim in the case of HaOmer Holech Mana Leploni. That's on the top line on Daf Yudalid Amid Beis. Holech Mana Leploni. Now let's give money to so and so. The Braisa quotes the first man, the Omer, is Rabbi Yudan Nasi, in the name of Yaakov, in the name of Rabbi Meir. Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes. V'chachomim Omerim Yachloku. Again, we'll have to get into the sugya to see what Yachloku means, but suffice it to say that at this point the Chachamim are not impressed by Rabbi Meir's principle of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes. Now, if you take a look on Daf Tesvav of an Aleph, on the bottom of your page, the Gemara says, Kaimolon Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes. That in fact, we Paskin, like Rabbi Meir, and we accept the principle of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes. And the reason why we paskin that way is because otherwise Rabbi Berzon wouldn't have a shiur for today. Just kidding. But if you fast forward to page 5, you know that the Aruch Laner, who was a Rav in Germany about 150 or more, 175 years ago, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, he authored a book called Binyan Tzion. I actually have a copy of it. But here I have a photocopy for you of a page of the Binyan Tzion. And he's going to discuss that case of a document that was signed and sealed by secular lawyers and was recognized by a secular court. That's called the Shtar B'Tzava B'Archos. And the question is, does the Jewish court have to recognize that statement of the person who subsequently died, who declares in that document that money has to be given to so-and-so. Again, that document, as I said before, is recognized and validated in a secular court, but nevertheless, there's no divrei hametz in this case. All we have is simply that document. So that's the background for this entire tshuva that you see is more than a page long in the Binyan Tzion. And basically,
why is it not clear-cut Dina Malchus HaDina?
Yeah, well, Dina Malchus HaDina has various limitations. For example, the Ran sheet is that Dina Malchus HaDina does not apply in Eretz Yisrael, Lidugma. Or, for example, it could very well be that Dina Malchus HaDina is not enough to be Motzi Momen Michezkoso, if somebody is Muchzak Alpi Din. But you're right, Dan. You know, that's something that we have to really analyze as far as Dina Malchus HaDina. This Tshuva de Binyan Tzion does an amazing service for us, because what he does is he really gives us a little bit of an overview of the various shitos in the Rishonim. And not only that, he points to three different sugyas in Shas, all of which are based on the principle of mitzvah lishmoa, mitzvah lekayim diremes. The first sugi that he points to is in Ksubis, on Daf Samach Tesamid Beis, and that's called Hamashlish Mos Lebito. Then he points to another sugi called HaOmer Tnu Shekel Lebni. And finally, a third sugya, which is in Gittin Daf Mem, Plonis Shivchasi Asula Koras Ruach. Now, before we get into these sugyas, and we may have to make this into a two-part shiur, I don't know, but we want to first look back in Gittin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, which is the first source on your first page. And there, Tosfos has a very difficult time explaining the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ha'omer tnu mana liish ploni umes yitno liachar misa." So the man said, "Give money to so and so," and then that person died, meaning the person who made the statement, the command. And the Mishnah establishes that we have to deliver that money even though he's dead. And the Gemara clearly explains that that only applies when the kesef is tsavur. Tsavur means it's gathered together and it's sitting in a certain place. It's munach bimkoma. And Rav Zvid is going to say that Mishnah only applies in such and such a case. I'll explain. Rav Pop is going to say it only applies in such and such a case, and we'll explain that. And otherwise, this Mishnah doesn't apply. So you need all these conditions to fulfill the halacha of Yitneim Liachar Misa that's codified in the Mishnah. So Tosfos says, why do I need all these restrictions? Rav Zvid is going to say that the Mishnah is talking about a healthy person, and he makes a kinyan called Maimon Shloshtan. Rav Pop is going to say that the Mishnah is talking about a Shechiv Meira who's about to die. So Tosfos says, why did the Gemara need all these somersaults in the air? Why couldn't the Gemara go straight away and say that the Mishnah is talking about a case of a healthy person? And the reason why we have to fulfill his command and give the money to so-and-so is because of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Hametz. And Tosfos says it would seem from this sugya Daf Yud Gimel, which is operating independent of the sugya of Rabbi Meir on Daf Tesvav, that we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir mitzvah lishma b'divrei hametz, and therefore we have to figure out why the Mishnah says yitneim liachar misa. And the answer is either there was a kinyan based on halacha maimon shloshtan, or alternatively there's a new halacha called divrei shechiv meira. But if you leave out those two halachas and there was absolutely no kinyan, then there's no reason why the Mishnah would have to require us to deliver that money. What happened to the principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hametz? So Tosfos seems to imply that the Gemara rejects the principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hametz paskening like the Chachamim against Rabbi Meir. And that's the way Tosfos seems to have it here in Masechta Gittin. But if you fast forward to page 2, there's another Tosfos. And that Tosfos is in Baba Basra on Daf Kuf Mem Tes. And there, there's a story in the Sugya about Isur Giora. He was a ger, and he left money in the hands of Rava. And the Gemara wants to know whether or not the son of Isar, whose name was Rav Mori Bar Rachel, would be able to somehow acquire ownership over that money after his father's death. Now, my impression is that Rav Mori is not halachically the son of Isar, because he was born to Isar before Isar was Miskayer. After Isar was Miskayer, he married Rachel, and that's why we call Rav Mori Bar Rachel, because he's really not Miyuchas to his father, but he was raised by his father, and therefore we have reason to believe that his father would have, if he were alive, he would have designated that money for his son Isar. Again, it's his biological son. But the money was deposited and safeguarded in the hands of Rava. And now the question is, what does Rava do with this money? And the reason for that is we have a principle called Nichsei Hager Hefker Heim, that when a ger dies and he doesn't have children that were born to him subsequent to his gerus, so he has no yorshim. Not up, not down, not to the left, not to the right. Nobody's related to him al pi din. So his nechasim automatically become hefker. David?
Well, the Gemara says in the third line, it says, Leidasi Bidusha, right? Bavashka Pentes.
Yeah.
So, going back to Shir from a few weeks ago, you would say that's a proof that, you know, it's the conception which counts for Yichus, not the Leva.
Right, excellent. And the truth is that there are many Rayas that it's the Ibur that generates Yuchsin and not the Leva from various sugyas,
So that's true. Shouldn't be called by Rachel, it should be called by Yisr, because he's born Bikdusha, right? In other words, the Leva occurred when he's a Rebegayer.
Right, but again, are you going back to Ibur, or are you making it depend upon Leva?
I'm saying if you call Mr. Baruchel, Mori Baruchel, then that's a proof that the conception is what counts, not the Leva.
And in this case, it was Shalobik Dusha. Hora also Shalobik Dusha.
But he was born after the Gairus concurred, right? So it's a proof for conception rather than.
Right.
But in other words,
and since at the time of conception, he was still a guy, he hadn't.
Right.
So therefore, it's Hora also Shalobik Dusha.
Yeah. Right. So, but the other thing I want to ask is, why do we say that a ger has no yorship? That means this guy can get married and have kids.
That's what I pointed out to you. If a ger dies and he has no children who were born to him subsequent to his gerus, any level, left, right, up and down, he has no yorship. Right. So then the nechasim become hefker. And
so the din yerusha goes after conception also?
Yeah. Because it's a din in yuchsin. In other words, anyone who's miyuchas, he's a yorish.
Okay, fine, got it.
So Tosa says he doesn't understand why is the Gemara, grappling with this issue. How could Rav Mari, find a way of being zocha in this money, which is hefker? Why not just circumvent the whole problem? Why not just apply the principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames? I'll quote to you the language of Tosfos. He says, Yesh tema, lama lo kiyem es dvar shel isa giora v'akayim alon mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. But here Tosfos is outspoken against the Tosfos that we saw in Gittin, that in fact we do paskin mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. So we have now two opinions amongst the Balei Tosfos, whereas the Tosfos in Gittin says that the reason why Rav Zvid requires Maimon Shloshtan and Rav Papa requires Shechid Meira in order to justify the Psak of the Mishnah in Gittin that says that if he says Holech Mana L'Ploni is we give the money to Ploni, why not just justify it based on Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames? And Tosas asks because we don't pass in Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. That's Tosas in Gittin. Tosas here assumes that Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. Now Tosas in Baba Basra adds another point over here, which is also important. He writes, Ha de Kaimalon de Divrei Shchimera Kiksuvim Ukesuvim Dami Tepukle de Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames Lamanda Ispe. Dehainu Rabbi Meir Umatna Shchimera Nami Lo Kanya Liachar Misa. So Tosas obviously is operating with the Man D'Omar, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, and he wonders why we need that mitzvah, since Divrei Shchimera Kiksuvim Ukesuvim Dami. And we'll soon see that other Rishonim say they don't even understand what Tosas' problem is, because Divrei Shchimera only applies to a Shchimera. He's on his deathbed. Whereas Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, that applies even to a Bari. But it would seem that Tosas is postulating that Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames applies exclusively to a Shchimera. And then we're back to the square one. So what do I need the whole Macharaika here, this whole new principle called Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames? So who are the other Rishonim that we have to deal with? And how do we reconcile these various contradictions? So first of all, we're going to have an entire school of Rishonim who have the opinion that Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames applies to an Adam Bari. Not like Tzava Shchimera, which only applies to a Shchimera. But beyond that, we have a number of other Rishonim. We've got Rabbeinu Tam. Now, this Rabbeinu Tam is going to take Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames and whittle it down to a very small portion of the cases, and that's called Hushlash Biad Shlish. Let me read to you the language of Rabbeinu Tam. This Rabbeinu Tam is quoted both in Tosas and Gittin. That's on your first page, and Tosas and Baba Basra on your second. The law Rina Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames El B'Dovrsha Hushlach Mitchila Lekach Biad Shlish. The money is already given over to the possession of someone who's guarding it, presumably on behalf of the recipient of the Mitzvah L'Shma L'Kayim Divrei Ames. U'B'Masnisen, and in the Mishnah Gittin, Mashma Shelo Hushlash. The case of the Mishnah Gittin where it says Holech Mana L'Ploni, it was not Hushlash Biad Shlish, and if it wasn't Hushlash Biad Shlish, then the Gemara is racking its brains to figure out how and why we would have to fulfill this mitzvah of the Mess. And the answer is that a certain kinyan was made. Let it be Maimed Shloshtan. Midalo Katani Tnumana Zeh L'Ploni. He says that if it was a case of Hushlash, then it would have been Mana Zeh. He would have been pointing and specifying one particular mana that was what was given Biad Shlish. If that be the case, says Rabbeinu Tam, in Iser Giora, Lefishalo Hufkidu Mitchilo Latesam L'Rav Mari. That's not Hufkad Biam Shlish. The Bailim, that's Isar Giora, he decided that he wants somebody to watch his money, and he gave it over to Rava. He had not designated it as a gift for his biological son, Rav Mari. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam comes to the conclusion that in order to apply Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, although we can waive the condition of a chole, of a shchimera, and we're going to apply it even in the case of Bari, but we're going to need two conditions to be fulfilled in order to apply Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. Number one, it's got to be Hushlash. And number two, it's got to be Hushlash for the express purpose of ultimately being given over to that Ploni Otherwise, there's no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-mes. So that's Rabbeinu Tam. In 5 minutes' time, what I'd like to do is go through the Shulchan Aruch and see how we pass him. But first, let's mention that the Rosh and the Ran, all quoted on page 3 by the Beis Yosef, which you'll see towards the bottom of page 3, they all agree to Rabbeinu Tam that we're talking about a Shechid Meira, and we're talking about a Bari, but we're talking about Hushlash B'Yad Shlish for the sake of that person. Now, why do we need this Hushlash B'Yad Shlish? Like, what's the logic behind it? So on page 8, you'll see a Stei Chevet. I'm going to open up the Stei Chevet here. It's a very interesting piece, quite long, and perhaps we could focus and single out the most important part. He writes, the Ikar Din Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Hames U'Kidesh Yehi Libo Nachon U'Batuach. We want to make a person feel calm and secure. Sheikaimu Dvarav Lachar Misa, that his words will be fulfilled and implemented after his death. Lo Titarif Daito, and he shouldn't go crazy. Kishiyeh Note Lemavis Bachasha Shalo Yikaimu Dvarav V'Tam Ze Lo Sheach El Kshaniach Hadover Biad Acheru. Now, what does that mean? That since the reason that underlies this mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-mes is to make sure that a person is feels secure and they will fulfill his word, therefore, it only applies when he gave the money over to a shlish. I understand the first part, I understand the second part, but I understand the connection between the two. What do you say, Rabosai? Any thoughts on the issue?
It sounds like we don't really mean it.
But if we have this halacha, then you know you want to give a person a certain level of tranquility and calm, and say to him, "Don't worry, we'll do it." Then
it
why?
Sounds like we are just saying so.
Yeah, but I'm saying if he's right, why is it only ki niach hadover biyad acherim? Very strange. Now, if you take a look at the Stei Chevet, on the left column, he says, the stapek shom im biyoresh katan amrina mitzvah kaim divrei ha-mes. Do we apply this principle even if the yoresh is a katan? And why is that? Because the katanim la b'nei mitzvah in him. And if this only works through mitzvah, not through a kinyan, then the katan is not obligated in the mitzvah. And then if you take a look in the last paragraph, he says, "L'inyan b'nei banim im shaych b'hem din mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-mes." Now he vacillates on the question of b'nei banim. He's assuming that it only applies to banim and not to b'nei banim. And we'll get back to that in just a minute. Now, number two, we have the opinion of the Ramban in Gittin. That's on page 3. And the Ramban in Gittin is of the opinion that kasher hushlash v'afilu lo hushlash mitchilu l'shem kach. The Ramban wants to take it a step further, and he wants to say that you don't need hushlash b'yad acherim, and we'll still apply the principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-mes. Now, if you want to see the Binyan Tzion again that we saw on page 5, the Binyan Tzion says that Mari Ibn Leib, there was one of the great, I would say, last Rishonim or early Achronim, was Mari Ibn Leib, and you'll see on the left column about 10 lines down, he writes, U'bishut Mari Ibn Leib, Havi Shegimel Shitos B'Dobar. There are three Shitos regarding this principle of mitzvah l'shmoa B'divrei HaMes, Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, D'Be'inon Sheish Mushlash. He's got to have it Mushlash. Number two, Shitas Rav Rosh. D'Be'inon Sheish Mushlash L'Shem Kach. No, I'm sorry, that was the... I made a mistake here. One second. There's Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yashar. There's Rabbeinu Tam quoted by Tosfos. And then there's the Shitas Ramban. So Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by, I'm sorry, in his own work called the Sefer Yashar, he says that all you need is Mushlash. There's no other conditions. The Rosh is of the opinion that according to Rabbeinu Tam, you need Mushlash L'Shem Kach. It's not enough that it's Mushlash B'yad Acherim, but it has to be given over to Acherim for that purpose, so that it be given to so-and-so. And then we have finally the Shita of the Ramban, the Lo Be'inan Mushlash. You don't even need that the money was given over during the lifetime of the Mitzvah. Actually, all you need is that he gave the command, please give this money, deliver it to so-and-so. So that's what we have here from Mari Ibn Leib, quoting these various opinions about Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes. And now we have the Ramban Shita. What's the Ramban Shita? The Ramban says that although Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes applies even if it was not Mushlash, but nevertheless the Ramban has other conditions. He says that it only applies when the command was given directly to one of his Yarshim or to a Shliach. The fact that we know and we have Yediyah that he wants to be Mekayim this, you know, give this so-and-so some money or whatever it is, that's not enough. It's not the knowledge that we know he wants it. We don't have to fulfill his every whim, his every ambition, his every desire. But it's a case where the money, the possessions, were wherever they are, but the tzivui was to the Yarshim. And if the tzivui was to Yarshim, that makes it a very serious kind of tzivui, and the Yarshim are in a unique position to fulfill that tzivui. The other alternative is, according to the Shita of the Ramban, that the command was given to a Shliach, and if the command was given to a Shliach, that also is enough. The law of Rina Mitzvah Kadimes Elehecha Diomer Tnu Mana L'Ploni. Another condition is you need Tnu Mana L'Ploni. You know, he's got to have an explicit command to mandate that the money be delivered to so and so. And at this point in our discussion, we'd like to mention the Ritva. Now, I have trouble finding the Ritva, but it's quoted in a sefer called Mishpatecha LiYaakov. And who authored this sefer Mishpatecha LiYaakov? It's one of our contemporary dayanim in the Beis Din in Tel Aviv, the rabbinic court. His name is Reb Tzvi Ben Yaakov, and he quotes the Ritva. Af im nomar, this you'll have on page 10. Af im nomar sheyesh mitzvah l'kayim divrei HaMes af below hushlash, even according to that opinion, the Ramban, that you don't need hushlash. Mikol makom b'tzavo shelo b'fnei yorshim ein mitzvah l'kayim divrei HaMes. The halacha of mitzvah l'kayim divrei HaMes only applies if the tzivui was done in the presence of the yorshim. That's what he says. Now, it's interesting to me that he quotes the Ritva. I haven't seen this Ritva, but why doesn't he quote the Ramban? And the reason I think he's not quoting the Ramban is because the Ramban doesn't make these distinctions as to whether or not the tzivui was given to the Yarshim in their presence. Is Tzarech L'Kayim Divrei HaMes Kishahaya Tzivui Hagam Shaloya B'fnei HaYarshim? Doesn't have to be in front of the Yarshim. Now, Tosfos in Bava Basra, which we saw on page 2, gives a couple of other answers here. And he says, Yesh Shehem Betarzim, Shem Rabbeinu Tam, Delo Omer Hasa Mitzvah Kaim Divrei Emes, Kevan Sheroi Linasein, Ela Michayim, Velo Linasein Leachar Misa, Lahachi Lo Shaykh Bazeh, Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Emes. So if I understand the language correctly here of the Yesh Shehem Betarzim, Shem Rabbeinu Tam, the halacha and the principle of mitzvah kaim divrei emes only applies when it's royally nasein michayim. It can only be given during his lifetime, but not something that's royally nasein liachar misa. If it's royally nasein liachar misa, in addition to being, of course, royally nasein michayim, then there's no mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. So what does it mean that there's some sort of a mitzvah to be m'kayim divrei emes even after he dies, and that's only because it's royally nasim m'chayim? Well, obviously the yesh matartzim are trying to manipulate or restrict mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes to a situation where the kinyan is made. But if that be the case, then what does it mean v'lo linasein liachar misa? Unless what he's saying is you don't have to actually do the kinyan, because then I don't need mitzvah, but rather you need at least that the tziv v'ikam mechayim when he's royal a kinyan. So we can extend or substitute for kinyanim this halacha of l'kayim divrei emes, but only if b'shaito at that point it was royally nasing. The Od says Tosfos, "Are you mafarish Rabbeinu Tam de lo shayach chacha b'shmaita mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes mishum dechol isa called the isa b'yerusha isa b'matana." Is mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes called the lesser b'yerusha, lesser matana, the leka mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. So now Rabbeinu Tam is further truncating and limiting this principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. It's only going to apply to something which is b'yerusha, isa b'yerusha, and therefore he could give it away. So that which you can bequeath to your heirs is that which you can give away even during your lifetime through this declaration and then mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. However, if you're talking about something that is completely mufka from the yarshim, is then there's no mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes according to Rabbeinu Tam. So basically, mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes really operates according to this understanding of Rabbeinu Tam with regard to the Yerusha. It's basically halacha in Hilchos Yerusha. Something that could be inherited, the owner during his lifetime has the right to say, I don't want you to inherit this, I want it to be given to somebody else. Then he writes, V'odaya omer ri, delo amrina mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes, el v'omer lo peh el peh. You know, you can't write it down and send it, you know, as a letter. You have to give it verbally, face to face. So let's take a look again at the Binyan Sion, which is on page 5.
Usually if it's written down, it's stronger than that way.
All right, you know what, Dan? I think the answer to your question lies more in the Psak Halacha, because otherwise this is all theoretical. So let me leave the Binyan Tzion for a minute, because I looked at the clock and I saw it's getting late. And let's fast forward to pages 3 and 4, which is the Torah Shulchan Aruch and the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. And this is all in Choshen Mishpat Simon Reish Nun Beis. So on the bottom of your page 3, you've got the Torah, Kaimel Mitzvah Kaim Divrei Emes, Afilu Bibari Shetziva Bemes, but he paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, it's only in Nasna Lo Biad Shlish.
That's right.
That's the tour. And if you look in the Beis Yosef, he says that Haran b'perikav digidin kasav kiluk ach b'shem Rabbeinu Tam I amrina b'katon mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. And then he goes on to say in the name of the Ritva, Shemitzvah kofin aleha, when this mitzvah applies, we can force a person. And then he quotes the Ra'ah, and he likes the Ra'ah, Shafil lo hotzi mitachas yado, even if he hasn't given it over to any shlish, kol shetziva liyarshim, o lemisha sipek biyado lasos, meaning some sort of a shliach, is then yesh bo mishum mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. Avol tziva liyarshim shelo bifneihem, ein bo mishum mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. So it means that according to the Ra'ah, the real focus here of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is on the yarshim, and it doesn't matter whether he's holding on to the object or he gave it over to a shlish. All that becomes irrelevant. So let's take a look on page 4 and see how the Shulchan Aruch codifies this. And then I want to go on to the tshuva of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. The Shulchan Aruch says, Mitzvah L'kayim Divrei Ames, this is Reish Nun Beis Beis, the third source on your page. He says, Afilu Bari. So whereas the, you know, the Beis Yosef that we just saw seemed to be seemingly pushing the agenda on the Yarshim, the whole focus on the Yarshim, here he's saying, forget about the Yarshim, it's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames afilu bari. And then he goes on to say that the mitzvah that's been given by the bari, the obligation, the command, is only meaningful if nosno ve'achshav l'shlish l'shem kach. So he passes like Rabbeinu Tam straight away, even a bari, but it's got to be money that was given over to a shlish, and not only that, the second condition l'shem kach, it's got to be given for the purpose of it being transmitted over to others. So basically, after all is said and done, it would seem from the perspective of the Shulchan Aruch that I hardly have a reason to give this year. Because the only time that mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is going to apply is when it was given over to a shlish l'shem kach. The Sma, if you take a look at Sivkot and Dalet, which is on the... Where is it now? Which is on the bottom of your page, on the right side, the Sma says, Sefer Mirosainayim, Behu shenosno shetziva liyarshav lite. He's quoting the Ritva, and the Ritva says that this whole business about mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is only when there was a tziva to the yarshim. Again, whittling this down. So now, in the few minutes that we have left, I would like to at least begin, if not finish, the Igros Moshe of Rav Feinstein, which you'll find on page 9. And there are many intricacies in this tshuva, but I think if I could only focus on one point, it would be the following. He says, Afshe Rabu Arishonim, Shesavri Shalomahani, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, Kashalohu Shlash L'Kach, Al Kol Ponim Asma Vashma Hashach V'Arama B'Tshuva, Heviru Rabbi Kivega B'Tshuva, Savri Ke'arit B'Shem Ra'ah, D'Mahani B'Kiblu Aleihem L'Kayim. Now, I'm not sure what he means by Kiblu Aleihem L'Kayim. It sounds like there's no absolute obligation, according to the Ritva, to fulfill the will and the command of the mess, but rather It's contingent on the fact that kibu aleihem l'kayim, which means that they accepted upon themselves to fulfill their father's wish. Now, the Nesivis points out that from the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Menuhin Beis, Bistama, he writes Mitzvah L'Kayim D'Remes, it doesn't sound like he's passing like the Ran, that it's only in a case where the Yorshim accepted upon themselves as a matter of volition, that's when Mitzvah L'Kayim D'Remes applies. But in Siman Reish Nun, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Yesh omrim de lamrina mitzvah l'kayim divrei mes elehecha de atfasei biyad shlish." And here, what we have in the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Reish Nun at least, is quite clear that mitzvah l'kayim divrei mes only applies if he gave it over to a shlish. If you go back to the first halacha that we mentioned in Siman Reish Nun Beis, he says it bistama. He doesn't even qualify it. He says mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. So l'chora, from the perspective of Reish Nun Beis, we get the impression that it has a much broader scope. And therefore, the final conclusion here is that of the Bnei Tzion on page 5, where he says yesh mashmos ha'im ha'yorshim u'zokim olo v'af shehechi shem u'zokim ha'yorshim pasku ha'tur v'ashulchan aruch kishitas Rabbeinu Tam. So I guess what he's saying is that, again, if any suffix arises about the application of mitzvah b'kayim divrei emes, as we saw, does it require hufkat biyad shlish, and it's got to be l'shem kach, all these issues, he says, the mashmos is that it really should depend on whether the yorshim are muchzakim. Because then we can say, amotzi b'kal v'arayah. I don't know that mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes would apply. He says, va'af shehechi shemuchzakim ayorshim, even though the psak of the Shulchan Aruch indicates that even though the Yarshim have received their portions and they are mukzakim the Yarshim, nevertheless mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. But mikol makom, shehayirusha mukzekes biyad apetropsim. Who's holding on to the Yerusha after the father dies? It's hufkad biyad apetropsim. Is afilu hayu ayorshim ma'arim misafek ein motzin miyadam. He says that once the apotropos seizes the estate, he establishes himself in the estate on behalf of the Yarshim, then emotzim miyadam shereicholim lomar kibli kanachshitos shecholkim arabinu tam v'kolshkein shehem rabin. And basically what he's saying is that in any case of a suffix, the Yarshim will have a right to claim, look, we're Muchzak, and we paskin that mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes only applies when it was hushlash biyad shlish. This is not hushlash biyad shlish, therefore we're not willing to fork over the money. We have possession over the money. But it comes out that according to this approach, if the Yarshim were not Muchzakim, because this is all only Bamed Vavim Yarshim Muchzakim, is then we would be Somech on the Shita that Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Emes applies even if it wasn't a Hushlash B'yad Shlish. So this is really fascinating because, you know, when we look at Shulchan Aruch, we come to one clear, we assume we correctly come to one clear a final line, and that is that mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes is not going to apply if the yarshim are muchzakim. But now what we see clearly from the Binyan Tzion is that The Binyan Tzion is only operating with the fact that the Yarshim are Muzakim. They've already established their possession over the estate. But before that matzav, you know, of Yarshim Muzakim, the Nechinami, we would apply mitzvah l'kayim divrei mes, even though the case is that it was lohu slash biyad shlish. The Ramah adds, Dover shalom nitan v'matana, rak she mitzvah l'kayim divrei mes, im kadma yorshim u'machru masha asu asu. So even the Ramah is trying to whittle down the efficacy of mitzvah l'kayim divrei mes. Let me add another few points about mitzvah l'kayim divrei mes. First of all, the Ramban in Gittin that we saw before sets up a machlokus rishonim as to whether or not there is a kfiya, we can coerce someone to be mekayim divrei mes. And if you look in the tshuva of Divrei Yatziv of the Kloisenberg Rebbe, he insists that that's a machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos. And in that same tshuva, he's medayik from Rishonim that there's a machlokus here who has the obligation of implementing the mitzvah l'kayim divrei mes. Is it the Yarshim? Or is it the Shlish? Or could it be anybody? And he's medayik in the Tashbeitz, who says v'chayov makol l'kayim dvaro. Hakol l'kayim dvaro means it's an absolute chiyuv on everyone. Now, as far as ketanim are concerned, do they have the mitzvah l'kayim divrei mes? If you take a look in the Achiezer, Reb Chaim Ozer Grzinski says that the Ran holds that the Yisomim ketanim are not obligated to be mekayim divrei mes because la b'nei mitzvah ninhu, but the Ramban seems to indicate that since this mitzvah is nimsurah lebezdin lachuf alei, that this is an absolute chiyuv and bezdin can even coerce you. As we said before, the Ramban in Gittin has a machlokas about this, but his final conclusion is that there is kfir, and therefore you could be kofe even yisomim ketanim. The Stechemen is going to try to embellish this Ramban. Now back to the tshuva of the Tzanzer Kloisenberger Rebbe in the Divrei Yitziv. He writes that fundamentally the machlokas here is how to understand the din of mitzvah l'kayim divrei mes. If it's only applicable in kisha hushlash, if that's the condition as we saw in Rabbeinu Tam, that you need hushlash, then you might ask, is it some sort of a din mamon in which the divrei mes become like a kinyan, a quasi-kinyan? Or are we dealing just simply with a kiyum mitzvah bi'alma? And he writes, im zem gak midin mitzvah, then move on, we understand hashita di'ein kofin. Ulashita the kofin, the Ramban shita, asin in Allah begetter bailus, it means that the mes has some sort of bailus which he can transfer over to someone else. Velo pasak kocho me oso mamon. That the chiddush of mitzvah l'kayim divrei mes is that somehow the mes still remains in quasi possession of his nechasim, and therefore he can transfer them after his death. Now, the shut Shvus Yaakov, which you'll see on page 6, is of the opinion that rak birushoso unechaso velo b'shar mili, that this the mechanics and the operation of mitzvah l'kayim divrei mes is limited to Yerusha, to Nechasim, v'lo b'shar mil, it doesn't extend beyond that. And he writes, d'min Nechasiv, shahayu lo b'hem b'ilus b'chayim chiyuso, his possessions which he owned during his life, t'nishalo gam li'achar misa, we give him some sort of a quasi bailus, and we recognize that as valid even after his death. I'll call upon Ludover Zeh, at least as far as this particular limited dimension is Sheyochel Tzavos, that he can command Ulafkiyah Nechasmi Yarshim and remove these you know, these nechassim from the klal of the Yerusha, v'sheyu muchrachim litein lazeh shetziva. U'lazeh gam b'lo hushlash shapir kofin es hayorsh. And if we see the underlying power of this halacha in the inherent in the bailus of the mess, then we can cut out the yorshim completely and kofin es hayorshim. We can force the yorshim therefore to cough up the money and transfer it to Ploni. Why diyachal hu lafki em to be mafkia the yorshim in chasav from his nechasim sheyit nuleachin which he wants to give to someone else? And in that context, we're talking specifically and in a limited way about nechasim, and the halacha is based on a sort of bailus liachah misa, and therefore we could be mafkia the yorshim, be kofes a yorshim to be makayim the divrei mes. He goes on to say, mitam zeh, according to this line of reasoning, yesh lomar degam b'yisomim ketanim kofin. In other words, the schus and the bailus of the mes exists and is recognized as valid even vis-a-vis the ketanim. It makes no difference. And therefore, as a sort of a din mamon, expressing or reflecting the bailus of the mes, there's no difference whatsoever between a bar mitzvah and a lav bar mitzvah in the case of a katan. Again, we're only limiting this to Yerusha and to Nechasin. He writes, Aval Mishum Mitzvah Greda. He says, if you were to define and categorize Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Emes as just simply a mitzvah, nothing beyond that, the Balus of a Kofer Nifka Gamrim Misos, and he doesn't maintain any valid legal possession over his nechasim after he's dead, is then move on shapid to lokaifina. And if it's just a mitzvah of the alma, we can't force anybody to fulfill that mitzvah. And how much more so, he says, in the case of Yisomim Ketanim, there, lav b'nei mevid mitzvah in. And not only that, it would seem that the mitzvah is only on the Yarshim. So basically, the Shvus Yaakov is a kind of a brisket zvei dinim in a sense. You know, and he's recognizing two different, or identifying two different dimensions or elements under the mitzvah l'kayim divrei ametz. One is a pure dini momenis halacha that only applies to his Yerusha and validates and recognizes the koach and the bailus of the mess. That applies with a din of kfiya and even to yisomim ketanim. And then you have another dimension called mitzvah greda, which means that irrelevant to his bailus, there's a mitzvah mekayim divrei ametz. There's no kfiya on that, and it certainly doesn't apply to yorshim ketanim. Now, I'm not exactly sure why the Shvus Yaakov is convinced that mitzvah greda, that dimension, is limited to Yarshim. I would have applied it to any person. In any event, the question now I want to deal with is, and with this we'll conclude, is does the mitzvah, the chiv, apply to the rice of the Rabbanon? And if it does, what is the nature of the mitzvah? So if you'll take a look at a sefer called Mishpatecha Yaakov on page 10, he brings Tosus and Ksuvus that it's only a mitzvah derabanan, whereas the Ramban seems to indicate that it's mitzvah not Torah, and it's derived from Tzavas Yaakov Avinu in our parasha, Parashas Vayichi. And Rabbi Shafaitshin in Zigris Moshe says that even if I give you the benefit of the doubt based on Tosus and Ksuvus that it's only a mitzvah derabanan, nevertheless they were machmir, that even in a safek we shouldn't be mekil, like we normally do in derabanans under the principle of safek derabanan l'kula. And again, the Kleisenberger Rebbe in his Divrei Yitziv bases himself on Rabbi Kiveger, and he suggests that maybe the mitzvah that we're dealing with is kibud av v'em, which case it only applies to the yarshim. Or is it included in the general mitzvah of Nachlos, according to Tashbates? That would also seem to limit it to Yarshim. Or perhaps a third possibility is in Kabilus Chesedim Amesim. That just as we're Chayiv in Chesed vis-a-vis the Chayim, there's also Chayiv Chesed with the Mesim. And in any event, it becomes a mitzvah saseh midivreim. Interesting. In other words, if we're dealing with mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-nes as a mitzvah doraisa of kibud av ha'em, then it might be doraisa. And even if it's a law within the context of nachlos, it might be doraisa. But if you're postulating chesed ha-mesin, that's a mitzvah say midivrei. And the tshuva here of the divrei yitziv is going to try to understand how they derive from Tzavos Yaakov Avinu, the principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-mes. If Yaakov Avinu was before Matan Torah, we don't learn halacha l'doros from before Matan Torah. You know, it's nidna Torah v'nischad shalacha. And as far as grandchildren are concerned, whether or not there's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-mes, as far as the question of a dovah shalom ba'olam, for that we'd have to go through the Stechemet very carefully. That's on your page 8. And the Achiezer says the Milsa Disura Lotik Nirabonon, it's Mitzvah Kaim Diramess, is only a Takonid Rabbonon and certainly would not override and trump an Issa Doraisa, so that if the Mess is telling you to violate an Issa, forget about that. But towards the end of his tshuva in the Shut Achiezer, he writes that if this din is a kinyan or a din mamon, and we have a loch of kfiya, is kofenos l'kaim gam bedivrei isur. This could be relevant in a case where Nebuchi has children who are mechali Shabbos b'farhesia. Insofar as mitzvah l'kaim divrei ha-mes as a mitzvah, I don't know, we might be violating an Isur by giving them these possessions. But if it's a din mamon, then the rights of the mes to give away his mamon are unlimited, and therefore would apply even if his children are mechale Shabbos, or that child is mechal Shabbos. Now, as far as the original question of the Stechemed, as to whether or not a shtar which is valid in the Archos Shal Akum would have the status of a tzava for mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-mes, he quotes a tshuva of the Truas Chai, that if there's a kiyum of tzava b'dini Archos, it's nechsheves kemufkedes b'yad shlish. He's assuming that this shtar, which is valid in a secular court, gives the mamon, the estate, or whatever portion of the estate, the status of mufkad biyad shlish. And once you've got mufkad biyad shlish, then the principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-mes goes into active application. Now, in the sefer that we mentioned earlier, Mishpatech Yaakov, he gives you an overall summary of this halacha, and there's also a sefer called Pischei Choshen, which you'll find here in the name of Rav Yaakov Bloy, who was a dayan on the Badatz, and he writes a whole chiddush here of Hafkadas Tzavoy Tzal Orech Din, that in a contemporary context this may have implications and ramifications as far as leaving your last will and testament in the hands of a lawyer. You know, it's notarized and so forth, all the legal requirements. It could also apply perhaps to pikdonot, monies that are left in the bank account, and you could earmark them for certain gifts. All this might be a way of applying mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-mes befal, even bizman hazeh, even in our contemporary life. And I think we'll call it here. Again, there's a lot of material to study, and we barely touched the tip of the iceberg, but that's what we wanted to study. All right, Kol Tov.